go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 91 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I'm living on a prayer and peppermint chocolate. I am starving, but we are going to starve through because episode 91, Verbal Graffiti, got to get done. And let me tell you this, to open up, I'm starting to come to the realization that this project, Verbal Graffiti, may not pay for my retirement. Now, the men in the Glass family do not have the best genetics when it comes to longevity. I do plan on dying a crippling, harsh death in mid-60s at the latest, probably late 50s. So the retirement fund has not been a big concern of mine because I never really thought I'd get there. But I'm trying to be a bit more optimistic. And I've noticed that we're not getting a lot of views yet on Verbal Graffiti. So this was my retirement plan. I thought this was going to make me millions of dollars. I had thought that I had a written blog, actual typing articles called After Time Expires. Go check it out, .com, aftertimeexpires.com. I thought that was going to pay for my retirement and my well-being. That was an utter failure as well. So God bless YouTube. None of you should go to college if you're of that age. Drop out. I've learned so much more through YouTube than I have any other source. I knew nothing about retirement, where to put money. In the last couple days, I've been watching a bunch of YouTube videos, and now I know what a Roth IRA account is, what a FXAIX S&P 500 fund is. I kind of knew what these things were, but they were a lot like those acronym government agencies like FBI, CIA. I kind of know what they do, but I really have no fucking clue what it is they do. Same thing with Roth IRA. Thank you to the web and YouTube for teaching me what that is. I think it's you put money in after taxes, so when you take it out, when you're over the age of 59 and a half, they don't tax it when you take it out. So you want to put money in when you're in a lower income tax bracket, which I am, so I pay a low tax right now. So put a lot of money in now. So hopefully I'm in a higher tax bracket when Verbal Graffiti is very successful and take it out tax-free at a later age, I think, as I pick my nose. So I'm watching all these YouTube videos, these finance guys and gals, sorry, babes, and I pointed this out previously in previous episodes that I am the B-Man. I am a racist. I am very judgmental. I believe in stereotypes, but I'm a fun-loving racist. Now, I know nothing about finance. I follow the stock market, but I don't really know why things go up and down and sideways. I know there's insider trading, but I don't know how to trade, and I don't know how to be on the inside. So, essentially, I know nothing about the stock market. But when I'm watching these videos, and I notice my racism is causing me to trust what some people are saying as compared to others. There was this guy talking about Roth IRA, and his video was one of the first videos in the YouTube search bar, Roth IRA. He's one of the first guys who comes up. He has a 15-minute video. Don't remember his name. He had white guy. He had all the graphics. If you study YouTube and how to get metrics on social media, he had switching screens very quickly. He had sound effects. He had jump cuts. He had all this. He had music. Yeah, he was a white guy. He was standing up. The thing about him, he had a tie-dye T-shirt on. Now, what he was saying, I was learning a lot from him, but I did not trust any of it. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my racism. If you're giving me financial advice on YouTube and you're wearing a tie-dye t-shirt. Immediately, I am not trusting your advice. Again, maybe that's on me, but you got to come dressing a bit more professional, a bit more white collar for me to take your advice. I have also realized when I'm taking financial advice from YouTube, I like two types of people. I like Asian men, and I like old men who work at firms with two or three letter names that do not know how to dress currently well. Those are who I'm taking my advice from. I don't know what it is. The Asian guys on YouTube, I trust everything they're telling me. They're telling me these Fidelity index funds are the way to go. But so I put my money there because they're Asian and they're dressed well. And I also like these old guys. There's this one guy, I forget his name, Mark something. He's been at Oak Tree Financial since the 70s. So he's been in the market 50 years. He wears just a boring button-down shirt with khakis that don't really fit him that well. But he was talking a couple podcasts, in front of a Goldman Sachs crowd, in front of a university crowd. I watched a few videos. This guy, he's old. He's been in the market 50 years. He's saying he's not trying to kill it. He's just trying to get a little bit above average each year. That's where I want to be. So, yeah, I'm following his advice. So every little dollar I get from now on, I'm going to put half into Verbal Graffiti and half into, I guess, a Roth IRA, which you're only allowed to. If you make under $140,000, you could put up to $7,000 per year into your Roth IRA account. That is financial advice from the B-Man here at Verbal Graffiti. So, yeah, Asian women, I do not trust their financial advice. White men with their hair slick back and who are under the age of 45, I do not trust them. They are too slick. They're too well-dressed. When I see a financial advisor on YouTube who I could tell has his hands manicured, that is someone I am not going to take his financial advice, because if he is putting that much money into his appearance, into his nails, all that money should be going into his savings investments. So the fact that he's spending that much money on his appearance, I don't trust that person's advice. So it's white guys under the age of 45 that are slick, Asian women, any advisor wearing a tie-dye t-shirt, nope, not taking your advice. And any guy or gal who uses the word like every third sentence, or that word in a sentence every three or four sentences, if you're using the word like and you know and every other sentence, I can't take you seriously. You know, I can't put my money where you're telling me to put it. So I'm a racist. I am a racist when it comes to finance. Hopefully it would have been nice. The B-Man, it would have been nice if I knew what all these investment funds were when I was 20. I might be a millionaire if I knew about those 20 years ago. Why did they not teach us that in high school? Why was I taking algebra and not what compound interest is? That's what you should be learning first day in ninth grade. This is how compound interest works. Put as much money as you can. All right, that's enough financial advice from the B-Man. I'm just frustrated because I'm 20 years behind where I should be, and Verbal Graffiti barely has any viewers. So if you know anybody and you're watching this, send them a clip of Verbal Graffiti or one of my reels that I put up on Instagram and TikTok. And let's try to grow the following here at Verbal Graffiti, because the B-Man, my retirement, I am behind by 20 years. And this is a fun one. Found this, we'll discuss this topic. I found this on the subreddit, Premature Ejaculation. suggestion, I come very easily. Like when I start watching porn, a few seconds, I start leaking. And if I do 3 to 4 good jerks, I come. I have watching porn and masturbating for like 6 to 7 years. So my question is that if I watch porn as less as I can and edge, generally when edging, I also leak a good amount, like 1 milliliter total. Without ejaculating for days, weeks, or maybe even months, will I be able to last longer? Thank you for the suggestion, guys, in advance. Smiling emoji, he ends it with. Right away, I feel you. There was a time in my... Sometimes I come quickly as well. That's kind of why I do edging, which we talked about two episodes ago. It's because I come so quickly that I do the edging to prolong the masturbation session. With women, oddly enough, whenever I've been with a babe, I am able to last longer than when I masturbate. So I don't know what that's all about. But this is not about the B-man. This is about you and your pre-cum. I have noticed this thing on Reddit the last year or so, or since I've begun this verbal graffiti project, you know, because I've been going, I should not be saying you know, trying to cut that out, but I go to these subreddits, the nefarious ones, and I find a lot of posters are referring to how many years they've been masturbating. This guy says, oh, I've been masturbating 6 or 7 years. Now, I've never done that. I've always been, I started masturbating when I was young, and I've never put it in terms of years. So that maybe the newer generations are doing that. If that's the case, I've been masturbating, let's see, I started fourth grade, what was I, 10 or so, 11? So like 39 years to be management, been winking it, give or take a year or two. Yeah, so 39 years of masturbating. I do come quickly when I masturbate if I'm not edging. So I have my PhD in this topic. Now, I want to take umbrage with you blaming pornography for coming quickly. I am over the Johns blaming all their inefficiencies when it comes to lovemaking and masturbation on pornography. Pornography is not the reason why you're coming so quickly. That is your anatomy. That's the gene pool that your parents gave you. That's all on you. Stop shifting the blame to pornography and put some of that blame on your own shoulders, on your own pubic area. This is a you problem. This is not a pornography problem. Now, I've never met your girlfriend, and congratulations for having a girlfriend. There's no way your girlfriend is as attractive as all these babes you masturbate to on the internet, on those nefarious websites or Reddit subreddits. Your girlfriend's not as attractive. She's not as flexible. All those babes who lack a gag reflex on the internet, your lady probably does have a gag reflex. So, your lady is probably a bag of Idaho potatoes. That's probably what her body looks like when you undress her and come so quickly inside of her or on her. So you can't, you watch all this smut. That should prepare you to have sex with your real person girlfriend. And when I call her a bag of potatoes, that's not an insult. I'm just pointing all this out. Like, these ladies on the internet, these floozies who do sexual acts for our pleasure, or for a fee on the internet, they're the top 0.001%. So to compare a normal lady or guy to them, that's unfair. So you're with this back of, you're jerking, you're wanking, you're watching so much smut. I would think that when you were with your girlfriend, a normal-looking lady, babe, that you would be able to last longer. So that's why I don't think, or I know, you cannot blame pornography for your inefficiencies in that department. Now, moving forward, what are things you can do to last longer? To last longer than 3 or 4 strong strokes. You're going about this all wrong. You need to be jerking off more often. Anybody knows, especially when you're a teenager and you start growing up and start going on dates and being with people, the more you jerk off before the date, the longer you can last at the end of the date. So instead of refraining from pornography and doing all the edging, you want to jerk off minimum 3 times per day. So I want you jerking off in the morning when you're taking a shower. B-Man, I've never been a shower jerker, but many are. So try that. Do a shower jerk. Then when you're at community college in the afternoon, when you have time between your anthropology 101 and family studies class, I want you to go to the library, find a stall, and wank off in there on your phone. Use, what again, whatever site or subreddit you use. And then I also, one more time, when you're leaving class, you're driving home, wank off in your vehicle while you're on the way to pick up your girlfriend from her who's ending her shift working at Jersey Mike's. So that's 3 times you're jerking off before you see your babe that night. So that should be able to make you last longer in the bed. Because even when you're young, when you're a teenager like yourself or early 20s, you only have so many bullets. You only have so many millimeters of pre-cum and cum coming out of you. So if you get rid of all that devil juice, there's less in there to get out. So it takes longer to jerk. That's one way you can go about it. Two, you can do the death grip. Just hold your wiener harder, tighter while you're wanking it. Now, that may make you come quicker, but that tight sensation, you'll get used to coming with that tight sensation. So when you put that wiener in one of your lady's orifices, it won't be as tight, and that may make you last longer. And three, yeah, do the edging. Like you said, that may help with you. We've gone into extensive detail in previous episodes. Go check episode, I think it's 89, maybe 88. We talked about edging. So go back, check that episode. Now, if none of those work, right, if just jerking off 3-4 times a day, if that does not work, deflect your blame, right? Deflect your blame. Stop blaming yourself and start blaming your girlfriend. Now blame her, right? Make her feel bad for making you come quickly. That's how you win at relationships. That's how you win in the bedroom, right? Instead of taking the blame or putting it on pornography, place it on your girlfriend. Make her, just destroy your lady's self-esteem, her confidence. That way she'll stop blaming you and she won't move on from you to another man who can last longer. So you want to convince your lady that it's not you coming quickly that's the problem. The problem is that her vagina is so tight and so wet that even Owen Gray couldn't last 3 minutes inside of there. So you have to convince your lady that she needs to loosen up her vagina. And that's the only way you'll be able to last longer inside of that vagina. So you have to convince your lady to stop doing the Kegels. You got to convince her to... All right, you need to convince your babe to treat her vagina like she's breaking in a new baseball glove. So anyone who's ever had a baseball glove as a kid, you get it. You put the oil on it. You put a baseball with a rubber band. You put it under your mattress. You sleep on it. You do that for a week or two, and then it's just that perfect. It's that perfect form where you can catch fly balls. Same thing with the vagina. So you got to tell your lady she's got to sleep with a girthy dildo inside of her vagina each night for a month. So, I don't know, that wide in dildo inside of her, sleep that every night. She's got to stop doing Kegels. Every day you got to take, what are those spatulas, like the hot dog turner, the things where you turn the hot dogs with, and go into the vagina and just kind of, every day, just try to stretch out her vagina a little bit each day, a few centimeters each day, loosen it, maybe take some helium. You know when you blow helium into a balloon, it expands? So to put a helium tank, like the little pipe part of that, put it in her vagina and just, try to stretch it out. Just keep stretching out the vagina with all these exercises, and maybe her vagina will get so loose that when you go inside of her, you'll barely feel anything. You could invite engine with you, and you'll be able to last longer. So I think always, anything when it comes to anything like sex, relationship, friendship, deflect. Try to work on yourself first. If that does not work, deflect onto your lover and blame her for all your inadequacies. Make her think that it's her vagina that's making you come so quickly. It's not the genes and anatomy that you're born with. You're a racehorse. You come quickly. She should be thankful that you are coming, and she should look at it as a compliment. Like, wow, I'm that hot that you came that quickly. I never understood why babes get frustrated when their johns, quickly. All right, so I hope that helps you. Let's go look at some photos. Yo, 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 have a sweet potato baking upstairs. I'm thankful to be having that after this episode. I am also thankful. The B-Man is very thankful that assassinations are back in Midtown Manhattan. As many of you may know, I do have a reverence for all things New York City 1970s. That includes Times Square Smut, the Peep Shows, which was going to originally be the name of Verbal Graffiti, a Peep Show. Thankfully, I went with Verbal Graffiti. But I also love movies like Mean Streets and documentaries about the drugs and the underworld and the mob bosses and the hitman and the movie Mean Streets. So when you see one like that, you go in Midtown with that CEO, oh yeah, someone just got popped. The suspect got on a city bike, rode off into the sunset. Like, all right, New York City, man, we're back at it. It's back where you got to watch your back if you're a high executive. It does. An event like this, or an assassination like this, it does really prove that some lives matter more than others. And you could tell by when you get murdered, how long is your story in the news? Like, if you get murdered and you get a little blurb on your local news site, like a 30-second clip, your life was meaningless. You didn't succeed at anything. No one will remember who you are 20 years from now. But this guy, the CEO, like, he did things. Now, was he a shady businessman? That's not for me to know. I'm just a smut comic. I don't know anything about healthcare other than, yeah, it's way too expensive and all that bullshit. But the fact that it's been in the news this long lets you know his life, that CEO, his life matters more than mine. It matters more than yours. And it matters all than everybody else's. And I think part of that is also the assassin is a very, very attractive looking young man. What a hottie patati that guy is. I hope sometimes during that trial, he tells us what his ab workout is, because those abs are protruding. He has amazing abs. Could have been an Abercrombie model if he decided to go that route other than a vigilante route. I want to meet his sister. I did see a photo with his sister. She had a bikini on. They were on a beach. I think it was his sister. What a attractive looking family that is. My heart goes out to the sister, I'm sure, in this difficult time with your brother being attained for possibly having murdered a CEO in Midtown early morning. But hey, I'm just happy. I'm happy, a bit giddy. Like, all right. The underworld, the subway, it's been that way for years. You got to keep your belongings in front of you, in your front pockets, hold on to them at all times. They'll tell you that over the telecom. But now you got to watch out above ground, too. So when we get from the subway to above ground, that's when you know New York City, the spirit of New York City, is alive and well. Talking about what's alive and well is this one I found on Reddit comes from the subreddit Fleshlight. Not Flashlight, Fleshlight. My collection, 20. And here's a photo of all 20 Fleshlights that this man possesses. What is his username? His username is Potato Drinker. That's about right. Now, he goes on to describe each fleshlight and the positives and the negatives of each one. I don't know the names of all the fleshlights, and if I don't know all the names of the fleshlights, I highly doubt any of you do. So I'm not going to go into that. Just look at this photo. This man fucks. Like, this man fucks. You can say a lot of things about him, and we will. The B-Man will go into this guy, but he fucks, right? Now, it may not be a person, but that's on us for not asking what it is or who it is he fucks. But he does fuck, and he's fucking a lot of silicone, all right? I look at that photo, oh, that's what $2,000 worth of silicone looks like. No, I'm not a fleshlight guy. I'm more of a hand guy, or occasionally a vagina guy. But a fleshlight, I've never gone down that route. So I had to do some research into this genre. You know, I think all you babes out there, when you say you want a guy who has a passion for anything, as long as there's something my guy cares about, you need to put a few more parameters when you say that. Because you could say, I want a guy who's passionate about anything. But then this guy, Potato Drinker, comes along and he's showing off his collection of 20 fleshlights on Reddit. So I don't think that's the type of passion you're talking about. So next time you say that, put some barriers around what you want those passions to be. My instant thought when I look at this guy's collection of 20 fleshlights is it's a waste of 17 fleshlights. Because if you have 20, at some point it's going to become like Netflix, where we all complain about, you watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming service it is, you spend more time searching for something to watch than you do actually watching whatever it is you decide on Netflix. Same thing here. You got 20 fleshlights. You're horny. Which one are you going to use? Well, you start looking through, like, well, this one's tighter, this one's looser, this one has a weird texture. Like, by the time you decide which one to use, the horniness you had might be gone. So you really don't need 20 fleshlights. That's more of an aggravation than it is a stimulation to you. So if you are going to be a fleshlight John, I would suggest going with 3 maximum. Buy 3 of the 3. You'll find one you like, and it'll give you a little bit of variety. It'll give you a harem of fleshlights. So you bounce back and forth between the 3. It's a time conserver. It's a frustration conserver. So if you're going to be that type of John, 3, no more than 5. Again, I'm not a fleshlight guy, so come at me if you think I'm wrong with that one. Now, I went to the fleshlight website. Not positive if this is the official one. It's fleshlight.com. And I was looking through the various options they had to buy there, that I could buy there. And it seemed like the average price of a fleshlight was about $100. I don't know. Am I the only one who thinks that's wildly undervalued? If you're a porn star, if I was a porn star and a company came to me and said, hey, we want to make a silicone or like rubber replica of my vagina, like I wouldn't want it to be sold for $100. Once you start talking about vagina replicas, Willow's out. She wants no part of this. So yeah, but like if I was having a replica of my vagina and it was sold for $100 or less than that, that would make me feel like a cheap whore. My vagina is more valuable than that. If I'm a porn star, I would not sell a replica fleshlight of my vagina for less than four digits. It'd be $1,000 minimum. And that if I was a low-level OnlyFans porn star. If you're a Vivid girl or you're one of the higher well-known porn stars with a rabid following on social media, $10,000 minimum. You want to stick your penis inside my replica vagina, you need to pay $10,000. You want to take my replica vagina and put it in your carry-on as you travel from one country to another, $10,000 for that. $100, that's wild. That's almost free. Like, you cannot be selling your vagina for that low of a price. So the fact that porn stars do that makes me now know how there are Johns out here who buy 20 fleshlights. And the more I think about it, I'm like, well, yeah, if I could buy a porn star's replica vagina for only $100, maybe I should be buying fleshlights just to have as a collection, like I do with baseball cards. That's a wildly, wildly low price for, as I spit out my words. Yeah, so if you're a porn star, up the price a little bit on your replica vagina. And also, like, I know who this guy is. As I just mentioned, I buy baseball cards. And there are always people on eBay who will put a card, like the Holy Grail card, that's very rare. Let's say it's a 1 of 5. There's only 5 of these cards in the world. He'll post it on eBay for sale, but he'll put the price so astronomical that nobody will pay the price for that. Let's say he'll put a card that's maybe it's worth, I don't know, $10,000. He'll put the price at $400,000. So he knows no one's going to buy that at that price, but he's putting it on eBay just to show it off, to let everybody know, hey, I got this card. Look at what I have. You won't have it. It's not actually for sale. It's just to show off the cards that he has. Same thing with this guy. He's showing off. He's like, he could have shown one fleshlight, but he showed all 20 to let all of us Johns know that, hey, I'm packing. I got all the fleshlights. I'm a better fleshlight guy than you are. So I've never... He's doing this in bad taste. Same thing with the baseball card collectors who do that on eBay. So I do not have respect for him in that regard. I also did not like his reviews. Right? If you look at his reviews, like, if you're going to come at us with 20 fleshlights, I expect you to have a PhD in fleshlight. I expect you to have paragraphs, a description, how each one feels, sounds, all the intricacies of each one. I want a dissertation of all the fleshlights. And all I got was a couple adjectives for each one. Oh, this one's too tight. This one has a unique design. Like, it makes me question whether you've ever felt a real vagina. Like, if you like ChatGPT, if you have 20 fleshlights, you should be able to give me a more detailed description of each of those fleshlights than ChatGPT can. And the fact that you were not able to do that makes me question you as a fleshlight guy. So there's just nothing about you I like. I hope your wiener gets stuck in one of these fleshlights, like the rubber melts, and you have to go to a plastic surgeon and have them, I don't know, try to surgically remove the fleshlight from your piece. But just use your hand or a vagina. Fleshlight, it's danger zone once you go that direction. All right, our last segment, we're going to continue reading A Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. We are on the top of page. Top of page 49, we will read 2 pages together aloud. Christ, I need a good lay from a good woman, he thought to himself. I don't want to hurt Pamela, but I'll go nuts if I can't get my rocks off with a sexy chick. His wife, he knew, was all he could desire from a woman physically, but sexually she was so cold and terrified that their love life was a complete disappointment. The night grew darker. He was in mountains of Sierra Nevada now, and he tried to relax as he drove, but his cock became aroused from the bumping of the wheels on the ground, and he gripped the wheel tightly. In the distance, he could see a red neon sign blinking on and off that said, "Joe's Diner, truckers, welcome." And he smiled broadly, for it was one of his favorite spots on the road, a place where he could always get a good meal and joke with the waitresses. Slowing down, he eased the station wagon into the parking lot in front of the restaurant. "A good meal might take my mind off all this," he mused. He climbed out of the car and walked inside. The place was empty, but he could hear talking in the kitchen, and he knew the cook and waitress were inside. He settled himself at the counter and flipped through the menu. A few moments later, the door to the kitchen swung open, and Alan looked up. His eyes bulged in astonishment when a buxom blonde, about 5'4", walked in. She was a knockout. A straw blonde hair was long and hung loosely down her back in a ponytail and framed her liquid green eyes, circled with dark makeup, and her lips the color of frosted orange. She was two ripe, voluptuous breasts pushing out hotly from the skin-tight white uniform she wore. Her waist was trim and the snug garments emphasized her lush, curving hips, weak legs. She was young, in her late teens or early 20s, but she had the confidence of an assured, sexy female, exuding a strong animal quality that made Alan's cock lurch roughly against his tight denims. "Hi," she said, arching her eyebrows slyly and giving Alan a quick once-over. "What'll be?" For a moment, the young salesman couldn't speak. The girl that stood before him across the counter was sensational, and his cock throbbed hotly. Jesus, get a hold of yourself," he commanded inwardly. "You're a married man. Go suck a fat one."